Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortion.
Unless there's an explicit exclusion of abortion, abortion will be in health care reform.
We believe that abortion should be safe, legal, rare, and accessible, and that a health care reform should not make it more difficult for women to get abortions in this country.
We think that in some sense is a distraction. I mean, it's a very important issue. But in the context of a country where a growing number of millions and millions of people do not have health insurance, we feel that's more the main issue for this particular debate.
The American people will not stand for government-run insurance that uses taxpayer money to fund abortions in this country.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I know that this seems counterintuitive. We get a lot of positive feedback from our listeners on Issues, etc. They are a very generous, very patient group of people, and we really do appreciate all the positive feedback that we get. And it seems counterintuitive, but as a radio talk show host, I kind of like the criticism a little more than the praise. And that's not because I like being criticized. I mean, no one does. But it stops and makes you think about what you're doing. Also, it reminds you that there are still people out there who need to be convinced. And that there's still a reason to get behind the microphone every day. We're going to start out with some listener email on this Friday afternoon. Some critical email. We'll respond to it. And some glowing praise as well. We'll also hear from our comment line. We'll do Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. I think this week's lined up soundbites is extraordinarily strong. I really do. And I'm hoping that we'll get a lot of votes when we play Soundbite of the Week a little bit later in this first hour of the program. We've moved Soundbite of the Week back to the first hour just this week because the second hour, this Reformation Week here on Issues, etc. We'll start out with James of Jerusalem. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest. We'll find out which James we're talking about. And then Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas is going to join us for the conclusion of our five-part daily series on the 16th century Reformation and its theology today. The Reformation today, I mean, that's what really matters. The history is important. The history must be known. But we can't live in history, not backwards in history. We live today. We don't have the luxury of going back in time to the days of Luther, as if those days ever were really that pristine. We must be Lutheran. We must continue to be soundly Reformational Christians. Here today, we'll find out how the church remains a confessing church, a reforming church. Even today, Dr. Lawrence White will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us @issuesetc. You can use those phone numbers, that email address, and that Twitter address as well when we play Soundbite of the Week a little bit later on the program. What's up first with our email, Jeffy?
Well, first, for the sake of honesty, this email is coming in response to a mass email that was sent out to LCMS clergy, official workers in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, rostered people.
Quite true. Some of them are. However, I should point out that those who write critical of the show obviously are familiar with the show. It's not as though they're just criticizing us for no reason. I mean,
yes,
they have heard the show. Or heard about the show.
Probably. Or heard secondhand.
Yeah, usually it's our critics.
I always say, if somebody criticizes the show, say, be specific. What show did you hear that was specific?
Yeah.
It's amazing how many times they heard it from somebody else who heard it from somebody else. So make them, pin them down on what specifically did you hear.
Hey, if you don't like the show because of you actually listen to it, don't like it, I got all the respect in the world for you. But if you're going to dislike the show, dislike it because you heard what we said.
Right. Right. Here's an example of some criticism. Steve writes, "While I certainly rejoice at the conversions to the Christian faith that you claim, as well as the reinvigorating of Lutherans, do you have any idea the number in both categories you turn off with your narrow, cocksure attitude and demeaning of ideas that are not in line with those of the issues, etc. talent. All the support you will get from me is the first sentence above before the comma. Thanks for the email, Steve.
Well, Steve, no, we don't know how many people we turn off. I'm certain we do. I remember when I first started doing talk radio, I took some very good advice from someone who'd done it before me, and he said, if you are not making half your audience Twitter with glee, and if you're not making half the audience spin in their chairs in anxiety or frustration, you're not doing your job. Now, that's not my goal. My goal is not to divide the audience in any way, but when you state matters of truth and you state them with the kind of confidence that comes with the truth, not this isn't personal confidence. Believe me, I'm not a person. I'm a withering flower when it comes to myself. This is not personal confidence. This is confidence that comes when handling the truth. The truth makes one confident, not just talk show hosts, but it should make pastors confident too. If you can't state the truth confidently, you need to go back and spend some more time with the truth. So I think when you deal with matters of truth, it always is going to divide those who hear you into those who want to hear the truth, those or maybe realize they need to hear the truth, and those who refuse to hear the truth. And you ask how many. I don't know how many we turn off, but I do know who we turn off because we hear from them so often. Our listeners might be a bit surprised to find out that some of our strongest detractors are not among the Baptists or the Roman Catholics. They kind of like us, not among the Presbyterians or the Charismatics. They can go along with some of what we say. Some of our strongest detractors are Lutheran pastors. And I'm not talking about Evangelical Lutheran Church in America pastors. I'm talking about LCMS pastors. Some of our strongest detractors. They're not always the most vocal. Sometimes they are. And why that is, I don't know, because I think it points to the doctrinal divisions in our Lutheran church body, to be quite honest. I mean, between the pastor who writes in there obviously does not agree with what I say, so he feels like there's a doctrinal difference here. I don't think he disagrees with me on the life issue. Most Lutheran pastors are pro-life, probably not on homosexuality. He's probably against homosexuality on a scriptural basis. And if you look at the things we talk about here on Issues Etc., you got those social moral issues, and then you got the quote-unquote theological issues. That's the only place I can conclude the disagreements are, and it's probably just symptomatic of the sad state of doctrinal division among Lutherans today.
Yet we have a leadership who says we don't have doctrinal – in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod says we don't have doctrinal divisions, differences in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. I mean, you'd have to be – sit in an ivory tower – To make a statement like that. I mean,
or you'd have to be comparing the divisions that we have in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod with greater divisions in other church bodies. But you see, the point of comparison is not how divided we are as opposed to, say, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or the Episcopalians. The point of comparison is how divided we are compared to what the Word of God says. We're to be united around the Word of God. And any time two Christians can't unite around the clear Word of God, that's called doctrinal division. I don't care if you want to deny it. That's what it is. So yet another symptom there.
Another email from an official worker in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Not sure what capacity. He says, I'm writing because I received an email from your organization. I wanted to write you so you know why I wanted to be removed from your list. Number one, I find your program and what it stands for divisive, not unifying the church. Number two, I want my money to be used to bring people to Christ, not to beat up on fellow Christians. Number three, I was glad when Issues was taken off the air. Number four, I don't like being solicited from the Lutheran Annual. How ironic that the very organization you castigate regularly produces materials you use to harm them. Number five, Jerry Kieschnick, the president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, is a great president and as conservative as a president we've had in the last 40 years. Get off his back. Number six, the traditional LCMS of the 40s, 50s, and 60s is responsible for bringing me and my family to Christ. Your program is destroying the gospel-driven work of those evangelical times, writes Gary.
All right. Gary, thanks for I always like the honesty, especially the part about being glad that Issues Etc. was canceled. Very few people have had the courage to admit that. I mean, some of our strongest opponents, when we were working for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will still not to this day admit that they're glad we're off the air. Oh, wasn't that a shame that Wilkin and Schwarz were canceled? Wasn't that a shame when inside they're as happy as they can be? Just come on. You're not going to hurt our feelings. We know how things are. Just admit it. And Gary, thank you for being so honest, saying that you're glad we were canceled. As to doctrinal division, look, I said that before. We're not intending to cause any kind of division. We're simply stating the truth of the Lutheran confessions and the Holy Scriptures. And if that tends to divide Lutherans, it shouldn't. But if it does, there's nothing we can do about that. We must remain faithful to the Scripture and the confessions. I don't know what show Gary's been listening to, but if he listened to just this week alone of Issues, etc., he would have heard more gospel proclamation than you'll hear in a lot of Lutheran church pulpits, and certainly clearer gospel proclamation. And so, you know, saying that he wants to support something that actually preaches the gospel, this is something that actually does that. Our goal is not to undermine the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our hope is that it's restored to its traditional teachings and practices. Honestly, I can say that for myself and for Jeff. We honestly hope that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod stops its doctrinal and practical wandering all over the map and is returned to its traditional teachings and practices, those of the Word of God and the Lutheran confessions. As for President Kieschnick being a great president, I don't know. I see a synod after 7 or 8 years of this administration. The only things that have grown are the debt, the division, and the number of executive sessions of bureaucratic meetings. I mean, it's more secret. It is less transparent. I don't see that as progress. I honestly don't. And when you see the Senate declining in numbers and growing in debt and people feel like everything's fallen apart, it's hard for me to say that that has been the kind of leadership that Lutherans need. You know, the kind of leadership we need is, and I've been honest about this, it's pastoral leadership. We need a good old-fashioned pastor leading the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Well, when we come back from this break, time for more listener email, Issues, Etc. comment line. It's Friday, October the 23rd.
Sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on-demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues, etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in Word and Sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
The bottom line is that when it comes to the Reformation, we affirm the alones because we affirm the sufficiency of Scripture, the sufficiency of faith, the sufficiency of grace, and above all, the sufficiency of Christ our Savior.
The problem is that it treats the gospel as a means to another end instead of an end in itself. as though the goal of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is that we would all be nice and better people.
If we're only going to list God's attributes, then certainly a Christian can look at that and say, well, certainly that's who God is, but so can a Jew, so can a Muslim.
You often say that you have the smartest listeners in radio. I think there's a perfect example of that. I'm not sure I understood half of what he said there.
Just a little montage of the sound bites of the week to come a little bit later in this first hour of Issues, Etc. If you want to listen to the whole things, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen, and under the on-demand audio, you're going to find there the four sound bites for this week. You can listen to them right there, and you can vote. There's a link there for you to vote as well, or you can wait and call 1-877-623-MYIE in about 25 minutes here on Issues, Etc. More email.
Just so you know, we were made aware that Pirate Christian Radio, the live streamer of Issues, Etc., just the only the live stream, is down. Your mom has called, and my mom sent an email. So we know we have two people that miss listening to us live today.
My mom sometimes, when she doesn't get the stream or starts breaking up, starts worrying about whether or not we're having trouble here at LPR, and I will often tell her, you know, there's an intermediate step between you and us, and that's the folks, the good folks at Pirate Christian Radio who do our live stream, who carry the stream for us, and I'll just say, call them, and it's not always their fault. Sometimes it's ours too, but sometimes she worries that the place is burned down, that I've been lost in a tragic accident at sea, things like that. The kind of conclusions moms jumps to when they can't hear their sons on the radio.
Well, most of our people think we just lost our jobs again.
Well, when we switched over the website to the newer version of the website earlier this week, and we wanted to do it over the weekend, but it proved a more monumental task than we anticipated. And so when we finally
tell the truth, you procrastinated.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, it wasn't
it
monumental.
Proved more monumental.
You just didn't work on it on the weekend like you were supposed to.
Well, I was supposed to do some, and then one thing led to another. But in any event, when we did switch over, I think someone did call just checking to make sure we were still breathing, checking to see whether or not Issues, Etc. was still up and running, because they couldn't get to the website. And of course, that's how a lot of people found out so long ago that it wasn't there anymore. So,
speaking of weekends, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm preaching for Reformation at Trinity.
In Millstadt, Illinois.
Yeah, what else?
Is it Millstadt or Millstadt?
Well, I go back and forth between the two. I don't know, tell you the truth. I call it Millstadt. I always have, but that's just me. I don't know how the residents refer to it. But in any event, I don't know what else I'm doing. I mean, if it would dry up a little bit, I need to mow my grass one more time before everything gets really cold. I mean, not that it's been growing a lot. I just spend some time at home.
How about you, Craigie? What are you up to, buddy? Any big exciting plans, big dates or anything?
This week, I'm going to try to get my front door painted. I've got a new, more home improvement. That's right. I've got a new screen door, a full view screen door I'm going to put on. And if I can con my brother into it, maybe get him over and help me to seal the deck. Yes, I know it's a little late to do it, but I want to get it done before the winter. I've still got to seal the deck. And Jeff, do I detect a hint of Flexol?
Yes. For those who are unaware, whenever I get nerve pain in my neck, whenever I'm really nervous, and I'm always nervous on Fridays because it's the only time I have to be on, put this silly little mic on and talk in it. So, Flexol during the break, nice and heavy.
No kidding.
Wilkin can't smell it. He's in a totally different room. But, the Flexol is nice and heavy.
Believe me, there are a lot of smells out there that I'm happy I am separated from.
That's a good point. And fruit flies. But by the way, I'm wearing orange and black today, not because it's Halloween is coming up, but my beloved Edwardsville Tigers, if they beat Belleville West tonight, will make the state playoffs in football. So I'm taking little Jack, JJ and Triple J, as I call them, to the Edwardsville Belleville West football game tonight. And it's supposed to be get down to like 40, isn't it, Craig? I think it's like 40 degrees tonight. So I'm thinking about first quarter, Jack's like, go home. Hot chocolate. This is like the only things he'll be telling me. He'll be ready to go
home.
Hey,
did you notice I'm doing my Don Matzett impression today? I mean, I do Don Matzett every single day, at least the way I look. I mean, I no one dressed more casually than Don except for me.
Without the cigarette.
Yeah, I'm actually doing the no-smoking version of Don Matzett today. I looked in the mirror before I walked out of the house and I thought, what have you come to? You look like Don used to when he did the show. So just as a, reminder of old times for you.
Yeah, I never saw Don in a blue jean. Is that blue jean jacket or what is that?
It's a shirt. Just
a blue jean shirt?
Yeah.
I never saw him in one of those.
You
though.
Didn't?
No, that's a little... No. No, I never saw him in one of those.
All right.
Is that like a biker jacket or what is
no,
that?
This is just an old denim shirt that I put
actually,
on.
Actually, blue doing. Looks good on you, Todd.
I know. It's my color.
It really is. It brings out your eyes. Hey, lots of email.
Another reason I'm glad that you're on that side of the glass.
Lots of email about the new website.
All right. Go ahead.
Just quickly, I'll just read a bunch of it. Tamara, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I love the new website. I especially like that I can listen to past issues right there without having to launch Windows Media Player or another program. Kathy in St. Louis. I love the updated look and features. Great job. Thanks. Paul in Ohio. I love the new website with the updates and changes. It has become infinitely more usable. The information is suddenly more easily accessible and an even better resource. Keep up the great work. And that's it for the website. Would you like to comment on any of that?
Well, no, it's we're very happy with it too. I just must say thank you to the guy who helped us. I'm not going to name his name because he wants to remain anonymous. But the guy who helped us put this thing up has done a great job. He's been very helpful. We've had a ton of questions for him. And as I said, he wants to remain anonymous, but I want to thank the fellow who helped us construct this website and put it together. Much of the work, much of the kind of clean, easy nature of it is due to the fact that he's just very good at what he does. And he knows who he is. So thank you very much, whoever you are. What else do we got?
Joe in Maumee, Ohio. Brothers, that was 1-5 in program on the Third Use of the Law Pastors Roundtable last week. I just listened to it today in my car's CD player. We love our on-demand listeners. You touched on the following, but I wish to enlarge a bit on it. One very disturbing trend that has become quite common in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is treating the gospel as a given, then pounding the congregation with the Great Commission. With the revitalization programs of transforming churches and natural church development gaining momentum, this is becoming the norm. The gospel is then treated as law. Jesus saved you, so get to work. Jesus died for you, so here's what you need to do in return. Sermons on the missional nature of the church become little more than halftime pep talks to go out and win one for the Gipper. It's pretty good. The pastors who preach these sermons actually begin to sound like coaches. As Luther put it, the sweetness of the gospel has been turned into the law, terror of the law. Thus, the Great Commission has effectively replaced justification by grace through faith as our material principle. Thanks again for a great program. It was among your best, writes Joe in Maumee, Ohio.
Joe, you are absolutely right. There is no doubt about it. I've opined elsewhere that with what's called a mission emphasis in the church has become an excuse for robbing the saved and the unsaved of the gospel. In the name of preaching the gospel more, the brightest ideas of church growth and missional thinking actually advocate preaching the gospel less, sometimes not at all. Is that an irony? And I'll tell you what, you sit down, you hear your pastor assume the gospel. He doesn't even bother to tell you much about Jesus except the Great Commission. And then he harangues you ever so gently, ever so kindly, ever so charmingly for 20 minutes, 45 minutes about how you need to get out and share the good news. Never once actually sharing the good news with you. That does not produce people who bear witness to Christ in their vocations. It doesn't. It does not produce people because, first of all, they don't have the message. They haven't been given the message themselves. And second of all, it is all the wrong motivation. If they do go out and witness, it will be solely out of a sense of guilt, solely out of an attempt to somehow, golly, God will really be pleased with me if I just witness to one more person. It's very, very sad. Here's a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. So ladies, consider yourself forewarned.
Where did that come from?
It was from Deborah in Dallas.
You're kidding me.
No, she actually tried the comment line, got disconnected, so she sent us an MP3 file since she couldn't record it on the comment line.
Well, that was very nice. Has she visited here? Did she speak from personal experience of trying to use our facilities?
No, but I mean, she's heard us talk about that issue before.
Yeah, but there still is a toilet lid on the toilet, isn't there? The seat is still there. We haven't removed it entirely.
Right.
In case we ever have any female visitors, we do have provision for that. It's just that, you know, because this is kind of a...
Maybe she's thinking, Yeah. I don't
she
know.
Says ladies be forewarned. Yeah. So, I mean, but I don't want women to think that if they come to visit studios, they got to bring their own toilet seat, okay? We have one. It's just up. That's all I wanted to point out. That was very clever.
How many women have we had, other than our anniversary, how many women have actually been here?
I can count them on one hand.
I don't think you can get five fingers. Hey, quick email. My blog pick of the week was Chris Eskett's eschatology because he's a Vikings fan. Didn't rub it in on the Packers after Brett Favre and the Vikings beat him. Michael in Texas says, your blog non-comment for choosing that blog, he says, baloney. That guy knows there will be a reckoning in Lambeau Field when Favre comes back to Green Bay.
Oh, so he's afraid. That's why he didn't blog about it. Eskett is over there in Alexandria, Virginia, shaking in his boots, daring not to blog about this, lest the wrath of Favre return to Lambeau Field. I understand now. Okay, that's a reasonable explanation for Eskett's silence on the victory there. It does as good as anyone else's. We're going through listener email issues, et cetera, comment line. When we come back, blog of the week. And then soundbite of the week. Get ready to play 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A 10-year-old girl in Germany is a medical wonder. She was born with only half a brain. The right side stopped developing at 7 weeks into the pregnancy. She's also missing most of her right eye, but sees out of her left as though she has two. Doctors say her brain has rewired and she's capable of living a normal life. She has normal psychological function. One neuroscientist says she's witty, charming, and intelligent. Many doctors, had they discovered her condition before birth, would have aggressively advocated for abortion. They would have said there's no hope, and the compassionate thing would have been to kill her in the womb. You'd think with the many living exceptions to this rule, like this girl, man would figure out God gets the final say.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.